And our very special guest this hour, Raven Grimassi. We're talking about his work as a witch. Do go to his websites, look at some of the work he has done. When we come back, we will take phone calls. Boy, this is exciting, and it's leading up to Halloween. And welcome back to Coast, Raven Grimassi, of course, with us. Raven, I've always heard that a male witch was called a warlock. We have not called you that tonight. Do they still use that phrase?
Rarely. It was common in the craft community back in the 60s. A lot of male witches were using that term, and that faded away. The theme became that the word actually represented a Christian view of a warlock as a traitor, you know, a traitor to the church or a traitor to whatever, you know, might have been the topic. And that became the way that witches understood the word. Today, there's some debate over that. People are trying to look at the etymology of warlock to figure out, you know, exactly what it did mean and what it does mean. But it's a controversial word in our community, and most of us tend not to use it.
I heard about it when I was a kid when I'd watched the TV show Bewitched.
Right. Yeah. Great show.
It was a great show. It was great. It made witches look good in a light that most Hollywood places did not.
Right. It was the beginning of turning things around for the image of the witch in modern times. It was a great thing, I think.
There is a tool that a lot of people who try to dabble with the afterlife, it's called the Ouija board. And I'm kind of opposed to it, not because I'm scared of it, but I think that for people who do use it, they might conjure up something. Your thoughts, is it just a toy? Is it something to be wary of? What do you think?
Well, I think it is actually a tool. It's been used for a long time, so it sort of has that momentum of action and magic tied to it. It can, in many cases, open doorways, allow spirits in. I think for the, you know, what I'm against would be, you know, the idea of, you know, you have a pajama party and people have no idea of any of this. You know, they get the Ouija board out and start playing with it. I think that that can become problematic.
There's no
like
question
about
it. Any
tool of magic or spirituality, you know, you have to understand it, and you have to have veneration and for it, and really understand the negative and positive possible aspects.
In old time New England, they would burn witches to the stake. The mere thought of a witch, they would do that. One, any idea what that poor person did to be accused of being a witch, because I believe in those days they didn't walk around telling everybody what they did. So if they like performed a spell, would somebody see it or hear about it and they go get them? What happened?
In most cases, it was someone who was disliked, someone who was a little bit eccentric, so people sort of always wondered about them to begin with.
Yeah.
And then if anything bad happened in the village, then they thought that, you know, he or she caused that to happen. The hysteria would grow, and then that woman would become victimized. But there was also another aspect to it that we know historically. If you own land or property, and you were accused of being a witch and found guilty, the accuser would inherit the land or property of the witch. So there was an economic economic reason for turning in somebody, because you could gain from that financially. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. But generally speaking, when we look at witchcraft trials, whether here in the United States or in Europe, the vast majority of those people had nothing to do with witchcraft, magic, or anything else. They were just an unfortunate victim of the hysteria.
What about witchcraft in other countries, Haiti, places like that?
In places such as?
Haiti.
Oh, yeah, that's more, I don't know that I personally would call that witchcraft. You know, it's a different form of magic. There's some voodoo, Haitian voodoo. There's, you know, conjure magic, and these things come from another culture. It's the sorcery of that particular, you know, culture. And I don't know that I would call that witchcraft. Some people might, but to me, just because you use magic doesn't mean you're a witch.
No, not at all. Let's take some calls for you this hour. It's going to fly by. We will go to Jim in Delaware to get things started. Jim, you're on with Raven. Go ahead.
Hey, Raven, listen, I'm a Christian, but you also believe in the spiritual. So, and I give you the benefit of the doubt, believing in the spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, isn't the deity of practicing witches Pan, P-A-N?
Not specifically. I mean, some people might, work with that particular deity idea. But no, I would not say that Pan is the universal, god of the witches. No, I would not say that.
Are you a believer? Yeah, I know you're spiritual. Are you a believer in what Christians call God, Raven?
Well, I think I would need them to define what they mean when they say that. I don't look at divinity as being masculine or feminine. I believe it is both.
Like Wicca, like Wicca believes.
Yeah.
And I think of people, if you would ask them specifically, what is God? They probably don't have that answer. It's, it could be anything from an energy force to something that's out there. I mean, I'm a believer, but I definitely don't believe that there's some man up there in a cloud doing
right.
something like that. I don't think it's that way at all, mm-hmm. as they taught us when we were younger. I mean, I went to my catechism classes, my Catholic teachings, and that's what they told us in those days. I mean,
right.
I think that's... That's not what people believe anymore, is it?
By and large, probably not. You know, those were simplistic ways of looking at things. A lot of those concepts come from a much earlier time when people weren't as educated or well-read, well-informed. Today, people challenge those ideas because, we do have more available to us to learn and expand our thinking. So some of the older models have fallen away. And, now it's more of a wider view.
Let's go to Gig Harbor in Washington. Diane's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
My question is about black cats. I have a solid black cat.
Okay.
That has not one stick of white. Mm-hmm. And I worry about them this time of year. Is it something I need to be concerned about?
Worry about them in what way? That somebody's going to hurt him or something?
Well, like, use them in any kind of ceremonies or, with witches, do they use black cats?
Well, 99.9% of witches, are not about harming,
animals.
Something living. Certainly, most favor the cat, and the black cat is particularly favored because it is of the night, the color black, which is sacred to witches. So you don't have to worry about that from a witch. You would have to worry about something, more about somebody who's just kind of likes the idea.
Some sadistic idiot.
Right, and they're using Halloween as an excuse, and that's really unfortunate. But as far as witchcraft goes, you have nothing to worry about there.
I mean, my God, I had a story before you came on, Raven, about a woman who put a newborn baby in a plastic bag, for crying out
loud. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about sadistically sick people.
Right, unfortunately, those people exist in all different organizations and religions. It's a shame.
I would recommend, though, that if on Halloween specifically, a lot of people let their cats roam and then they come back, I'd keep the cat in the house that night, wouldn't you?
I agree, absolutely, because you don't know, who's out there doing what, and if you particularly have a black cat, I think you should keep it inside.
Yep. Absolutely. That's the advice for you, Diane. East of the Rockies, Jim is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'd just like to, I sent you a text, same thing. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the series of books by Carlos Castaneda.
Mm-hmm.
Castaneda?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Okay. I remember I've read several of them. And apparently Don Juan, the witch.
The sorcerer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he referred to himself as a sorcerer, but
anyway,
yes.
He, in one of his books, Carlos asked Don Juan about certain other people who called themselves witches. Don Juan kind of cornered the book. chuckle, laugh, as though they're not even at his Don Juan's level. And for lack of a better word, I'll just call Don Juan a witch. What does your guest, Raven, assuming he knows about this, I'm mm-hmm. just curious what he would think, what he thinks about Don Juan being his style
of being a witch. Raven, can you answer that?
Yeah, Don Juan is a sorcerer of the old Indian magic of Mexico, and he's using something that's very old shamanistic. In his culture, witches would be seen in a negative way, as they are in many cultures, which is all about misinformation. But what he practices, sorcery or shamanism, there are witches who are certainly at that level and beyond as far as their magic goes. But yeah, what he's presenting is the Yaqui way of knowledge, which was a tribe from Mexico.
In all your writings, and you've got them 20 plus, what's mm-hmm. the big message, Raven, that you try to get people to understand, to grasp?
Mm-hmm. Well, the primary message is to understand that divinity is within nature, and that by aligning yourself with the forces of nature, you can come better to a better understanding of what the divine is and how you connect with it. I always say the artist is in the artwork. It's reflected back to you from the artist. You know, if you look at Van Gogh or rather Rembrandt, you see a somber character. His paintings are all somber. It tells you a little bit about the nature of the artist. So by focusing on nature and looking at the changing of the seasons and how the planet works, you can come to a better understanding of divinity. And that's why I go back to the rooted ways, trying to show people pre-Christian European spirituality. And because this is a time when those people lived in common cause with the earth, and today we've sort of moved away and we try to master nature. Our ancestors didn't try to master nature. They tried to live in common cause with it. And that's my theme in my books, to find ways to get back to the ancestral
Great.
View of the world is enchanted, and finding how to work in common cause with nature for a successful spiritual evolution.
If somebody is at a roadblock that they just can't seem to become that kind of person they want to become for whatever mm-hmm. reason, can they try just through some of the exercises of witchcraft, which again, folks, is not evil, right. can they be a better person?
Well, they can certainly find their center and balance, which I think would make them a better person, a better spiritual light to the community that's around them. And there are techniques of meditation. There's techniques of just working with natural energy, working with the forces of nature. Yeah, I think that can indeed make some significant positive changes.
What is it about people who just want to get scared? And they love Halloween. You know, we're going to do our annual Ghost to Ghost show Friday night. People right. want to be spooked out. How come?
Well, you know, there's probably many answers to that. But, you know, as far as this time of year, it may be, and I emphasize maybe, that to encounter something scary, supernatural, a ghost, a spirit, is almost a promise of survival after death. And it may be that they want to be frightened into dismissing their fears of death, and that death means extermination, annihilation, you know. And so they think, well, if I see a ghost or I see a spirit, then, you know, maybe it's true that I live beyond my body. So maybe that's sort of why they like to be scared, not so much for the fright, but for the promise of survival after death.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's go to Anonymous in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Anonymous. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I was calling in about I was dating a girl for probably about 3 months. She was into witchcraft, and I'm a devout Catholic.
Okay.
And, she talked me into going to one of her circles or her covenant. I don't know what you call it. But anyways, they did a seance first, and then we messed around like with the Ouija board, and some odd stuff happened. She knew my grandfather's name, which I didn't tell her. After the seance, you know, I went home, and I was awoke by my grandfather's voice at night.
Wow.
And everything else. And this went on for 3 months, and I went and talked to my priest about it. And he advised me never to talk to her again. He came over, he blessed my house and everything else. And I think that it's not really spirits that you're messing with. I think it's more demon related. Maybe he can educate me, and that's all I
have to say. And are you sure, Anonymous, that she was a witch?
That's what she said. I don't know, really. I don't know. That's just the phrase that she uses.
Okay. Could she have been a witch, Raven, and still practice Ouija boards and conjuring up spirits and things like that, or would she be somebody else?
Well, you know, there was probably more to her witchcraft than just that. That in and of itself wouldn't strike me as being, defining her as a witch, although some witches may incorporate a seance or a Ouija board. Most have other ways of doing that. As far as the question about demons, you have to understand that witchcraft is a pre-Christian religion, and in pre-Christian times, Europe did not have a devil figure. The devil figure came from the Middle East and Judaic.
The jinn, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was associated a lot with that and the Egyptian Seth and a whole variety of things. But it all came from that part of the world. So witchcraft evolved in a region that didn't have that figure and therefore didn't have demons. The old gods were what the ancient pagans worshipped, and the spirits of land, the earth. These were natural beings. They weren't demons. So witches aren't going to be working with demons. They're going to be working with the spirits of nature. That the priests discouraged that, well, that is the old story, you know, that the church has been trying to turn people away from the old ways since the onset of it taking, you know, power. At one time the world was pagan, and then the world became Christian, and the church has ever since tried to keep people from returning to the old rooted natural ways.
And for the life of me, I can't understand why Satanists would be who they are, why they would want to worship the devil, which to me is pure evil.
Right. Some Satanists don't actually believe in the devil figure. They just believe in elevating the self and that living a life of self-focus. And but those who do believe in the devil, from the ones I've spoken with, they see Satan as a liberator.
Yeah, no, you're right. Let's talk a little bit more about that, Raven. Final segment just ahead here on Coast to Coast AM. Those of you on hold, don't go anywhere. Those of you listening, don't touch your dial. Welcome back. Raven Grimasi with us. Website's all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Is this, Raven, a busy week for you, more so than the rest of the year?
Well, the whole month for me has been busy because I do a lot of lectures and classes and radios and TV. So everybody wants a witch on, you know, around Halloween time. But this coming week, we're sort of gearing down. We've already done our ritual early. And we're sort of coming to the end of the season of the witch, so to speak. So it won't be as busy, I think, here on out.
You're talking about devil worshipers before the break, and how mm-hmm. some of them, will really try to pay homage to the devil, and some others might not. I have interviewed some Satanists. They come across as good people. I haven't heard that real wretched evil in them, but I got to believe that some Satanists who believe in the devil are evil, somewhat demonic. It's a tough thing. Have you come across those kinds?
You know, they can be an outlet for dysfunctional people to
yes.
become, you know, to take on the stereotype of satanic rituals. And I've met Satanists, as you've said, who were, you know, very excellent people. I think by and large, the sentiment from at least the feedback that I get is that the people that actually recognize Satan as an entity, as a sentient being, see him more as a liberator, someone who frees you from the constraints of imposed morality, imposed social order, that they're finding, they want a release, they want to be liberated from that and sort of find their own way and live by their own rules. And that doesn't mean negative per se. It's just that they're looking for some type of, liberation. They don't want things dictated to them. And I think Satan can kind of symbolize that liberator for them. But I think the evil one that is sort of the Hollywood image, I think is probably very rare.
There are some people who actually will go to plastic surgeons and get devil's horns installed permanently
right.
in their foreheads.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Unbelievable. I mean, if I were a doctor, a plastic surgeon, I'd turn them down. I mean, I would say, I'm not doing this operation on you. But
yeah, I agree. I think most would probably, follow suit there. But there's always the one that you can find that will do anything, so unfortunately.
The pointy ears, they snip them and everything. Just, ugh.
Right. Well, some people have tried to get their teeth filed down for fangs.
You're right. You're right about that.
Yeah.
I had a story a week and a half ago with pictures on our website of an individual who wants to look like a parrot. And, I mean, he literally has got his face all pocket marked up like that, his ears, his eyes. He's got little type of little horns. And now he wants a nose to look like a beak. I mean, there's something wrong with these people.
Yep, human nature.
Let's go to Carlos in Carson, California. Hello, Carlos. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening. Mr. Raven, May the 1st is allegedly the biggest witchcraft day called the Walpurgis Night or something to that effect. And yet,
Walpurgis Night? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's tied in with some historical events. For instance, the Illuminati, which is the vanguard for world government, was born on that day by Adam Weishaupt back in May the 1st, 1776. And, of course, you've got other historical events. The Allies landed in Berlin on May 1st, and many other mm-hmm. events that coincide with that date. Now, well, what's the connection there? Well, what's the connection with the Illuminati? Is there a connection between witchcraft and the Illuminati and the world government that they're setting forth?
Well, not that I'm aware of, and I would probably think not. I think May 1st is not, like the main celebration or ritual time for witchcraft. There actually are eight during the year, and that's just one of them. So it doesn't have any major emphasis. It certainly doesn't have more emphasis than the other celebrations. It could be coincidental. The Illuminati, is not, necessarily something that people can prove historically. There's lots of talk about them. Do they really exist? I don't think we really know.
Let's go to Roland, the Big Island in Hawaii. Hello there, Roland. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Raven. This is Roland. Good evening. I wanted to ask you about your name. I understood you practiced Kabbalah at one point, and maybe if you could tell me your birthday.
Tell you my birthday?
Yeah, I thought you may have changed your name when you became practicing. I consider myself a soul practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I
Are you a witch too, Roland?
Well, I changed my name legally. That's why I was interested in Raven's name. I thought it was interesting. I'd never heard of anyone named Raven, but
okay.
Raven's with an S at the end sounds.
Nope, there's no S there.
No,
Raven,
no
did
S.
You did you change your name? Do you want to say? It's up to you.
Well, yes, certainly. The name Raven Grimaldi is a pen name. It's not my legal name.
There you go. Is that good enough, Roland?
I was just saying, as far as numerology, that I kind of practice it when I changed my name.
Mm-hmm.
But like Glennis McCants talks about a universal year, I kind of disagree. I think you have to add a one. So I think we're like in a nine universal year. And I think when I set my intention, I do that through my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of like practicing. I don't know if I am a soul practitioner. I'd have to ask Raven if he'd consider that I don't know, a prayer or something like that.
Well, I'm not really sure I understand the question, but if you're talking about numerology, a lot of people do use a numerology when they take on a new name to give it some type of spiritual vibration or magical vibration numerically. There is a system of that, so that may be what you're talking about.
How did you select the name that you selected, Raven?
How did I select Raven?
Yeah.
I had always had an affinity with ravens. So since I was young, I would look at these birds, and I just thought they were beautiful. And people would always say, why are you looking at that black bird? And I said, it's just so beautiful. And they thought that was rather strange. And then later on, I worked at a rehab center for wildlife, and I worked with the corvids, with the crows and ravens and those types of birds. So people started nicknaming me, you know, there's that raven guy. And it sort of took...
Okay, great. Let's go to Joe in San Francisco now. He's been on hold for a while. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Good evening, George and Raven. I wanted to ask Raven about defamation. Like this last Friday, the last witch hunter came out, and it's like like making it cool to kill witches, and it's pretty above board. And if it was any other spiritual tradition or religion, it would probably... they probably go bananas, and I wanted to ask Raven's thoughts on that.
Well, unfortunately, there are places in the world today that people are put to death for practicing magic. They call them witches, but again, I would have to say that just simply practicing magic does not mean you're a witch.
I've had stories on
that. There's always been the mentality, you know, of the middle-aged type people, and we see that even today, that people hate and they want to kill and destroy the things they don't understand or the things that they think are contrary to their belief system. And that's really a tragic mentality. But unfortunately, the witch hunters are still with us.
In some of these third world nations, those who practice witchcraft, some of them have been put to death because of that.
Yep, that's true.
Let's go to the next one up. That's William in Michigan. Hey, William, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening. Hi, how you doing, Raven?
Good.
I got a question for you here. Being that you're a practitioner of the old ways, and I'm assuming you'll be doing some work with Diana with the full moon coming up, and many of the practitioners look at Diana and Lucifer as the Lord and the Lady, I was curious what your opinion was about the ever-changing face of Lucifer today with some of the Luciferian movements that are radically different from how he was perceived as a bringer of light and a liberator.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. In the old faith, Lucifer would have been the beautiful star being, Diana being the goddess of the moon, and the mating between the star Lucifer and the moon generated the stars through the, you know, the universe. That was the old mythology. So it's quite a different idea. Later on in the Middle Ages, of course, they conflated Lucifer with Satan and the devil, and that became problematic for using that name. And ever since then, you know, splinter groups have gone off and invented and added to and reconstructed. And it's quite a maze to walk now to try and sort of sort out this whole thing of Lucifer within witchcraft, Lucifer really within any occult society. It's not so simple.
If you were to tell a priest, Raven, that you were a practicing witch, would they freak out?
Some of them might. I have actually had a few friends who were Catholic priests, and you know, we had some conversations. And while they're certainly not going to, you know, buy into the idea of witchcraft as I present it, I think they were willing to share with me that the things that they believe as a priesthood are things that they don't share commonly with the you know, the congregation. So these priests have their own inner order, the Order of Melchizedek, which is a little bit different than what they're actually teaching and preaching. So they sort of have an inner society, and I think that they understand inner societies.
Where do curses come from? Are they more associated with witchcraft as opposed to some kind of religion?
Well, they've been associated with magic, certainly, since ancient times. They do find cursed tablets and these things from Sumeria and other places. And curses have been, you know, with us probably as long as humans were, you know, able to articulate, you know. But it isn't the property of witchcraft, and it isn't the highlight of witchcraft. But cursing does exist in the realm of magic.
It does. Now, why do they need? Do they need in curses or spells? Do they really need a lock of hair, an eye of a newt, things like that?
Well, you know, there is something to be said in occult principle for having a link back to a person. So in days of old, they would have used nail clippings or hair, again, thinking that if you had that from a person, you would still connect to, you could still influence them. In quantum physics, that would make sense today. But it's not essential, but it is helpful. I know that some of my healing work has been better, more effective with people that I've had a physical link to them. So I think that there is something underlying that principle.
Next up, we go to Anonymous in Oklahoma, another Anonymous first-time caller. Hello, Anonymous. You're up with us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Mr. Raven, I'm writing a fiction story about Rhiannon, the kind witch, the bright witch.
Okay.
And I needed a little bit of insight. Did she have sisters or nieces?
Well, Rhiannon actually was a goddess figure in old Celtic lore. You know, people have taken that figure and then turned her, you know, into some fictional tales and that type of thing. I have to be honest and say I'm not really familiar with what splintered off from Rhiannon.
Was she a witch, Raven?
Pardon?
I don't even know. Was she a witch?
Well, no, she was a goddess figure in ancient Celtic lore. Well, a mystical figure, if not a goddess figure. But I think it was popularized by, was it Stevie Nicks? The song Rhiannon?
Okay.
Not mistaken.
It's going way back.
I think people have seen that as a witchy name, and they felt that that was, you know. But historically, and I could be wrong, but historically I'm not aware of a figure that was called Rhiannon. But again, I could be mistaken. I'm not an expert on all things Celtic.
What did you think of the classic Frank Sinatra bumper song we played on witchcraft? Were you able to hear that?
Now?
Frank Sinatra's classic song called Witchcraft?
Oh, I love that song. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a great one. Sure is. Let's go to one or two more callers. That's all we're going to have time for. Brian is driving somewhere in Illinois. Whereabouts? Close to Chicago or St. Louis, Brian?
Well, George, first of all, I'm a longtime listener. I live in Michigan but work in Oklahoma.
Thank you.
So I drive every 2 weeks, and you keep me entertained, get through the winter weather and whatnot. So I appreciate
we'll do
that.
It. Thank you.
Question for Raven is, I have a lot of Turkish friends, and I don't know if this borders on future prediction or whatnot, but this thing that they do with Turkish coffee is remarkably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I just want his opinion, expert opinion on what that process is and if it dabbles on witchcraft or what his attitude is.
I assume you're referring to the coffee grounds that are left in the cup.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The pattern that they have on the inside of the cup.
Yeah, that's an old European thing as well, reading tea leaves in the bottom of
that's
your
right.
cup. It's a very, very old technique. And the idea here is that it's a psychic message, that you're being given an image. And in that image, if you're attuned to it, if you're a believer and you can connect with that, that pattern will show you a future event. I know a lot of people who are tea readers who believe in that 100%. It's not a technique I myself have worked with much, but I'm a firm believer in all possibilities.
The women who generally read the coffee grinds or the tea leaves are absolutely astounding, Raven, at how they do what they do.
Right.
I remember my grandmother having, instead of the living room in those days, they called it the parlor, and it was in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and she would have parties, tea drinking parties, and this old woman would come, and she'd be sitting in the middle of the parlor, and people would drink their tea, and then they'd hand her the cup, and she'd look at where the tea leaves ended up, and she'd do her thing and her predictions. And I mean, this was a ritual. This was, you know, when they didn't have video games and things like that in those days, or DVDs or anything like that. and the entertainment was that parlor. And this little old lady would just spout all this stuff. And I remember as a little boy, geez, I must have been 7, 8 years old, just listening in on some of those things. And it was just it was just fascinating.
Those types of things were very potent. And those old world practitioners were really good at what they did. My grandmother was a healer, and she would have people come to her home in the parlor, as you say. And she would have them bring their pillows with them. And the pillow stack in the day were made with feathers.
Feathers, that's right.
And so she would cut the pillow open, and she would look at how the feathers were inside the pillow, whether they were matted, mixed together, you know, what formation they made. And she would diagnose their illness based upon what she saw in the pattern of feathers.
That is truly
amazing.
And then
my Uncle Frank would take a cigar, and he would blow cigar smoke onto the afflicted area of the person and say some words over it. And people kept coming back for healing.
I love those old-time customs. I might even do a show on things like that. Raven, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the holidays to you and your wife and your websites, of course. And books are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be right back.